Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to Late Night in the Word. It's Thursday night. It's about 11:37, if the clock that I'm looking at is correct, plus or minus a minute or so. Good to be here. This is Late Night in the Word. It's an outreach ministry, kind of panel talk show about the Word that we do on Thursday night and Saturday night at 11:30. It's outreach ministry of Olive Branch Ministry International. Our pastor is Pastor Richard Weintraub. And we are a full gospel Hebraic roots ministry and not denominational. We have people from all over the world and all kinds of different backgrounds that the Lord has brought together. And we have in common with each other, not common, but in community with each other, like precious faith in Jesus and a desire to search deeper for the truth and to want to follow after God. Like Jesus said, continue in my word and you will be my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free, because we want deliverance from the bondage to this world and the things of this world to serve the living and true God. And I'm joined in the studio tonight with Joab, who's at the engineering desk.
Shalom.
And to my, I'm Avery Irvin, and to my left is Robert Rodriguez.
Hello, shalom.
And to his left is Brandon Wheeler.
Shalom, shalom.
And so we want to welcome our audience tonight on olivebranchonline.org and on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. We hope to hear from you. We're prepared to receive and answer Bible questions, so we'd like you to call us. Brandon, what number can they call?
The number for Blog Talk Radio is 347-850-1420, which we'll be using to the top of the hour. And we're also streaming on our main website, olivebranchonline.org. And the number you can call after the top of the hour will be 631-533-4099. So currently we are using Blog Talk to the top of the hour, 347-850-1420.
All righty. Okay, so most of everybody in the body met Tuesday night. And in, I believe, the new location where we were Sunday night also, over off of Powers Ferry Road, I can't remember the atrium. Is that the name of the community? Anyway, I'm sure it was a wonderful time, so I'm ready to hear something about it. What was Pastor sharing? What was the Holy Spirit speaking to the body about as Pastor was sharing with the body and teaching?
What was... Brandon, you started mentioning that, and I got there late on Tuesday night. So, but you mentioned that Leah had, shared something with you about what was covered on Tuesday.
A little bit about John 17,
mm-hmm.
about how he said in verse 22 that they may be one, even as we are one. Because the body is supposed to be one. It's not supposed to be separate. They talked a bit about, the gifts, like in 1 Corinthians 12 and all these different things, but it's supposed to be edification of the body, being one with the body, and not having any issues with one another or things like that. Because united in Christ, nothing can prevail against this church, like in Matthew 6 and 18. But if the church is at its own self, it's not going to be able to be effective. So if there's any like areas in your life where you're having an issue with your brother, or you have like spots where you're not forgiving or stuff you have attractions to in the world, you have to look at yourself and purge those, ask the Lord to help purge those areas out so you can be one with the Lord.
Amen. Wow.
And I know that that'll take us in a little bit, it'll take us to Isaiah 51, at least the first couple, if not the first three verses. But before we go there, I know that Pastor Keith also went into John 17, verses 10 through 14. And Jesus is speaking to his Father here. And, you know, let's just take a look at that real quick, you know, verses 10 through 14. And it reads, "And all mine are thine," speaking of the disciples, "and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition," and speaking about Judas Iscariot there, "that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And it's pretty interesting, because here is a great testimony of how the disciples were following his example, were now lined up with the word and prepared to go forth and continue the ministry. And so it's rather interesting, because, you know, then you go to verse 22, it says, "And the glory which thou gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." So they were perfectly aligned. And, you know, what a great example for us in the church today. That's where we're supposed to be. And it's interesting when you go to from there to Isaiah 51, where Pastor Keith took us. And in Isaiah 51, Brandon, would you mind reading verses 1 through 3?
Okay. "Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit which you were digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody."
Keep going to verse 4 also, please.
"Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people."
So what I was getting out of this was, here Jesus is in the book of John talking to the Father about how his disciples have followed his examples, and in the same way that they were, that he was in line and in step with his Father, they were in line and in step with him. And here we have a complete contrast in chapter 51 here in Isaiah, where the people had actually lost touch with their identity and their position, and they're having to be reminded here by the prophet about their foundations, you know, because they were actually, you know, they were walking or existing outside of their foundations, the foundations that God gave them through Abraham.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, it's a marvel that that word "old" is attached to the old, what we call the Old Testament.
Wow.
Or the Tanakh.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that I see, is the timelessness of it, and how fitting Isaiah 51. It was fitting for the time when Isaiah was given these words and looking to the future of Israel for many years to come until Messiah comes. And then, yes, the things that Jesus was able to raise his disciples up and teach them and share with them, and his prayer that he makes in John 17, and we could spend a whole broadcast on just John 17 and the verses there. But where are we now? Because there's a lot of revelation in John 17 in this prayer about the disciples and about the witnessing body that God is raising up and what he's doing there. And yet in the world today, Christianity is a religion. How much we need these verses in Isaiah 51 to help us to focus on where we came from and what the good news of the gospel is all about, and to recognize that it's not about us and our performance, but God is the creator.
Amen. And I'm glad you said those words. And it's not by mistake, Avery, because I believe the Holy Spirit is just leading us right through the study here, because Pastor Keith also went to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And you're speaking about the earlier scriptures that we just referred to. We're talking about the disciples' walk. And then we went to Isaiah, and we're talking about how the people had lost their identity and were walking outside of their identity and had to be recalibrated, if you would, to their foundation and what God had done in Abraham and through Abraham and Sarah. And where are we today as a body and as a people? And if we look in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Brandon, would you mind?
I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Okay, we're going to park the car, and we're going to talk about these two verses a little bit here. One is first, several things noteworthy. The word therefore in verse 12 verse 1, we always say, what's it there for? And what I see so clearly is Romans and what Paul has shared in the letter up to this point. He's making an appeal, not based on just the last chapter, but on beginning all the way back in chapter 1, and everything that he shared up to this point is a revelation of the gospel of God and what God has done. And now Paul has got to a climax here in verse 12, and he's like, okay, here's how we respond. Here's what we are to do. And I think that's very important with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, we got to be careful here, because we are always focused on performance. But the next verse is so important because it puts it in perspective. If you could read verse 2 again.
And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Okay, so if we're considering verse 1 and presenting our body a living sacrifice, verse 2 is clarifying that not going to be done in performance. It's going to be done by being transformed. And that's the work of God, the Creator, in the Holy Spirit, and also the finished work of Jesus, which puts us in the ability to be in the place to have the Holy Spirit and to have this work done in us. That word conformed, that means to be shaped by the world, in the teachings of this world, in the pressures of life in this world, our need to exist, our need to survive. And those things are warring against us to cause us to see ourselves as citizens of this world and having to do things according to what we've learned in this world. And I see it kind of like a cookie cutter. The cookie cutter, you know, it puts pressure down on the dough and it shapes every single one exactly the same. And everything about this world, it's pressure from the outside in this atmosphere, in this dimension that we live in. All these things that we learn in this humanity, in this world, from the time that we're children, are there to shape us and to make us look the way the world. And in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4, it says the little ruler of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever, unless the light of the glorious gospel would be able to shine into them. And then you have this word transformed. I know Robert's wanting to share a little bit, so I'm going to not talk too much. But
no, if anything, I would ask that you do fill in some gaps for us, Avery, if you would. When going to verse or chapter 11, before we get to the therefore,
okay.
In chapter 11, could you fill in a little bit of what was going on with Israel and what Paul was actually, you know, communicating to them? Because I know that there was a struggle there, and I know that salvation was brought to the Gentiles to be an example.
Okay. For the benefit of people on Blog Talk Radio that may not be part of our ministry and may have never heard, and as a review for people that are part of the ministry, pastors taught us in teaching about Romans that the body in Rome that Paul's writing this letter to is a small church that's in Rome, probably not a lot of people, but it's a mixed group of both Jews and non-Jews that have, as Peter says, come to like precious faith, believing in Jesus Christ and receiving the good news of righteousness without works and, you know, salvation and redemption. And so one of the things he's addressing is in Romans 11, people are concerned with the Jewish brothers and sisters who don't know the Lord, who don't have the revelation in their heart that Jesus is the Messiah. And there's perhaps even some pride there of people believing that God's done away with the nation of Israel, and that this new covenant that Jesus has made us aware of, he said it's the new covenant of redemption by my blood, that somehow replaces everything else. And it's for the Jew first. As we go all the way back to Romans chapter 1, Paul makes it very clear. It's for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So it's for the Jew and for the non-Jew, because God is fulfilling his promise to the people. Jesus is the promised Messiah that the scriptures has said is going to come. And now he's come, and some were blinded. But Paul is making it clear in Romans 11 that though some are blinded, it's actually to the benefit of the ones who are of the nations that are being allowed to have God's grace extended to them and come in. And the thing is, too, there's a lot that can be magnified in chapter 11 since we went to chapter 11. I'm going to read, or maybe I'll have one of my partners here read from, let's look at verse 28. Verse 28 through 32. And I think that'll magnify a little bit of a cross section of what Paul's talking about here in Romans 11.
As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now believed Even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all.
Okay, so there's two big things to magnify in those last two verses. One is God's justice. God's justice is revealed greatly in verse 32, but also a right heart is revealed that we should have in verse 31. We've received mercy from God. That's a great thing, and there's only one thing to have is mercy towards them. Mercy towards them. We're not here to judge them.
No.
We are partakers of their spiritual blessings, and it's a great gift of God's mercy that's been given to us great to be called to be part of that family.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Like Ruth said, your people are my people and your God is my God. This is, I think, again, I would almost call verse chapter 11 a climax of this letter, and then again, if we look at verse 12, verse 1, it's okay, response, it's time to respond now. We've received everything Paul shared in Romans about the gospel of God, climaxing in chapter 11, and now Paul's like, okay, here's the proper response. And chapter 12, verse 1 is related to verse 31 there. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Amen.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this differently than what I have before, and I think it's because of all the teachings we've had. Israel was called out to be a nation different from the way the world was, and we can go to Leviticus 19:2 that says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." What the Lord Jesus did when salvation through the apostles went out to the Gentiles was bringing them into that revelation and family of having that. Because even though Israel didn't walk in that, but that's what Romans 1 through 11 has been about. Okay, the life for the Gentile and then the life for the Jew. Now you're both one. Now the same thing he says here, you know, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Because to be holy before the Lord who is holy, there is a certain way to walk, and that was in unity. And the Gentile and Israel had to be unified together, because then they were brought in and grafted in.
Yes, and that's important, because I know I heard Pastor teach on it, as late as this past weekend, that it was always God's plan to take the light that he was bringing to Israel and take it to all the nations. He told Jacob, you're going to be a light to the nations. I think it was even told to Abraham. Yes, it was told to Abraham, in you all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And so this was always God's plan to do this. I think as far as just magnifying a little bit about verse 31, since we read verse 32 in Romans there, 11. Verse 31, that these have now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Verse 32 goes on to say he's concluded them in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. That's just God's justice. If God had to do it some way. I mean, this is God's will. I was looking for the verse in Acts where, you know, Peter, when explaining it to the Jews in Jerusalem at Pentecost, he said this was the predetermined counsel and will of God to do it the way that he did it, meaning to bring Jesus into the world, to die and to suffer and to make redemption the way that he chose to do it from even before the foundation of creation. And I think that's worth noting, at least in that verse, that, you know, it's not about replacement. It's about God doing it in a way that he chose before the foundation of the world. He did a great thing in raising up Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he made a great nation to bring the Messiah from.
Like, there's that verse, like, he's taken the two and put them together to make one new man.
Right, and the Messiah coming was to fulfill all of his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to the people, and to redeem the people, but in doing so, to also redeem the whole world.
Yeah.
So kind of tying this back with John 17, so Jesus was talking to his Father about how the disciples walked with him. In Isaiah 51, talking about how the people had fallen away.